Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to MikeReinold.com/knee for more information and to sign up today. On this episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show, we talk about how we manage acute low back pain.
The Ask Mike Reinold Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure you knew about my free online course on the Introduction to Performance Therapy and Training. If you want to learn how to get started optimizing and enhancing performance, this is the course for you. Head to MikeReinold.com/performance to sign up today. Welcome back, everybody, to the latest episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show. We're here, Champion PT and Performance, up in Boston, answering your questions. Anything you want to talk about, sports, physical therapy, performance, business, career advice, anything you want to talk about, head to MikeReinold.com, click on that podcast link. Let's see. We have Dave Tilley, Lenny Macrina, Duesh Podel, Kevin Coughlin, Jonah Monlock, and Dan Pope, all here answering your questions. That was very slow, deliberate. I didn't want to get Kevin and Dave mixed up this week like we did last week. And when I say last week, I meant like 5 minutes ago. But Len, who do we have for students, Len?
Amazing group of students that I just have just come to adore over the past few weeks. Just adore. We have from left to right that you won't see on the video because nobody watches videos apparently. Brady Cannon from Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University. I wrote it down. We have Mike Bearden from Georgia Southern. We have Sean Riley from Creighton University and Brennan Hammer from the Duke University in Durham, North Carolina. Fun fact, I used to live there. And Michaela Meyer from St. Francis University, Tumble Track Nation.
What a crew. What a crew. Right. I think we say this all the time. We get great students at Champion, right? So many people have been through, probably listening right now. We always have good crews, but what a crew. What a crew we have right now.
What a crew.
What a crew. Crew, what do we have for a question today?
All right. We got Tim from Maryland asks, I work in an athletic orthopedic clinic. I often see a fairly young athletic people with acute low back pain that they describe as just locking up on them and then pain for days. Sometimes they have mild neurological symptoms down their leg, but oftentimes they don't. Why do you think that is, and what's your treatment strategy?
Nice. Good job, Brady. Cannon. Love it. Cannon.
Boom.
Cannonball. You just nailed it. Anyway, I feel like this is like three of my patients right now that I'm rehabbing for other extremities, right, too. So hope Duesh and Jonah don't take that the wrong way. I'm sure it wasn't what they were doing in the gym. It was them. It was definitely them. But this happens all the time, right? I'm sure Dan and Dave probably, you know, you guys see a ton of these here too. But like the younger, the healthier person, it's not necessarily neurologic, or maybe it's the beginning of something. Who knows, right? It's not like they're shooting pain down their leg, right? But they just have that acute lockup in their back, and you know, they almost can't even move. And man, the apprehension and, you know, the fear may be the wrong word, but like they're nervous. They're like, what the heck just happened? What is this? I've heard people recently, they're like, I had to have somebody drive me home, you know, because I was like nervous, that sort of thing. So who wants to start with this one? Because this is a good one. And I'd actually like to know the answer because I need help with this. I have like three people right now. So who wants to start? Kev, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll just start by saying that it can definitely be challenging and the patient can appear like super, super nervous and worked up. I think generally the first thing I try to do with that person is, as we're going through the assessment, just educating them and letting them know that I know like this is horrible right now, but luckily most cases of acute back pain tend to get better pretty quickly. So, you know, this is obviously horrible, and I'm here to help you, and we're going to find any strategy we can to bring your pain down. But just thinking over the next 4 or 6 weeks, this is going to progress relatively quickly. I think what I tend to see is that debilitating period can be a couple days long. And then it transitions to a more achy, uncomfortable back pain, but one where they're totally able to function with that. So I think the first thing I try to do is just talk them off a ledge. And you know, as long as we're screening for red flags and they're not presenting with any, just letting them know that this will subside likely in the next few weeks. And then I would say from there, going through, if we can do any type of movement assessment, you know, it depends. Sometimes they're so painful, it's really, a movement assessment's not worth it. We're not going to get any good information. If we can, I try to find if they're appearing to be flexion or extension based. So one position where we can just have them lay in, whether it's, you know, supine with legs elevated on a ball or something to keep them in a little bit of flexion if they're presenting as flexion tolerant, or laying on their stomach if they're preferring extension. And then, you know, from there, whatever I can do to help alleviate some pain. The question was asking about locking up. I think sometimes, you know, if you're treating a younger population, this could be more of a bony issue. You know, if it's like an extension rotation athlete, maybe you're getting some spasming of the muscles in the area. In that case, you know, maybe I'll give them a little heat and see if that helps. I'll do a little massage stuff and see if that helps. Sometimes gentle joint mobilizations can be helpful. And then, you know, after that, maybe just some light, like breathing, positional breathing techniques, and then very gentle exercise if they can tolerate it. But throughout that whole process, just educating them on, you know, all right, we're finding that you feel a little better in a flex position. Let's try some of these flexion-based stretches, see how you tolerate them, and encouraging them to move as much as they feel like they can in the coming days, because that tends to help them get better as well. But I think a lot of education and, you know, screening for red flags, obviously, and then trying to provide any relief that we can based on what we're finding and what they're telling us.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to frame this too, Kevin, too, which I took from Tim's question, to be honest. But like, we didn't assume you didn't find anything like a huge red flag. Like, I think that's the point here. It's like, this is just that other one. But I love what you kind of broke down there at the beginning here. Like, the first process here is to break that pain spasm cycle. They're having that spasm. And sometimes I even try to educate them. Like, I don't even think the symptoms you're having right now, maybe even related to the, you know, whatever the pathology or whatever it might be, it's the secondary spasm that's occurring to help try to like protect it. That is really the symptom that's driving you crazy. So that leads our early phase stuff. But I don't know who else wants to jump in. What do you think on this topic? This is pretty common, right? I mean, I know I want to hear a little bit from Dan Pope, to be honest with you, but I don't want to put him on the spot. Does anybody else want to jump in?
Get him, Dan.
Say a thing too, I guess.
Dan.
This is Dan's world. I mean, this is he's great at this. So like, I'm gonna sit back and just get ready to be educated here.
I don't know if there's anything good that's coming for me. I see a lot, just because we see a lot of people who lift weights. Low back is one of the most common injuries. Happens pretty frequently. A lot of lifters have this, and it's something they deal with on a pretty regular basis. Back feels good one day, next day it feels like garbage. Following day feels pretty good again, right? I think Kevin really nailed it there. When you have low back pain, especially for the first time, it's so debilitating, so scary. You think something really, really bad is going on. And it's kind of a hilarious issue. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, but compared to a lot of other injuries, it just seems to get better so fast. And it's so odd that someone could be so debilitated one day and the next day, like, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good, right? And you hear this story all the time, things like lock up, you know, and I'll have a couple bad days and they're completely fine after that. Which you don't really see with other like tendinopathies or something along those lines. It just behaves differently, right? So I think that is number one, educating patients that this is terrible, but there's a good chance you'll feel awesome tomorrow. So don't feel like you have to change everything. And I think moving from that place, and I think this is also where you're talking about your patient right now, we want to try to maintain their fitness and keep on exercise as much as possible. But there's also that likelihood, I kind of see it as like a hamstring strain injury, that's just going to recur in the next few weeks unless you're careful, right? So I think it's twofold, making sure that you're backing up enough that you're not continually irritating it, right? But also trying to maintain their fitness as much as possible. So let's say it was like a Romanian deadlift or something along those lines that aggravated someone's spine. If they feel pretty good the next week after having a flare up after that, maybe we have to modify that to something different, right? And I often will use the words tolerable. If something feels tolerable, that's a good thing. You might have to be a little more cautious with those repeat offenders, right? Some folks, they feel like they're pushing probably a good amount and it's not going to be too much, but the next day they're right back in the same place. So you have to pull back a little bit more. So I think a lot of it is this balancing act of trying to figure out what can we continue pushing without that risk. And just like that hamstring, it's the same issue. It's like we can probably return quicker, but we just have that increased risk of flaring things up again. So probably depends on how important, because I think for athlete, we were talking about, it's like, well, do you really need to load that deadlift heavy for your goals? Probably not. Why do we need to keep on pushing this? We can probably back off a little bit more so. But if I have a power lifter that's 6 weeks out from nationals or something like that, it's like we probably have to push it a bit, but we're going to assume a little more risk. Just like if someone is preparing for, I don't know, some big soccer competition in 3 weeks and have an acute strain, it's like, well, we're going to have to push it probably a little bit, but our risk goes up for that reason. So,
yeah, I love it, Dan. And I think, you know, I think that, you know, between you and Kevin putting that together, I mean, that really covers, like, to me, like the first two big phases. Like, the first phase is break that spasm cycle, right? That was what Kevin kind of mentioned on. Break the pain spasm cycle, get them, move them, make sure they realize that they're not going to cause damage by moving. So just get them moving a little bit and let that subside. And sometimes I think, like, I almost say, like, it's like a muscle, right? Like, you overdo a muscle or you work a muscle like that you haven't used a while in the gym, you know, it's 3 to 5 days that you're going to have, like, almost like delayed onset muscle soreness, because all those little muscles in your back were spasming at 25% max intensity, whatever it was, for 24 hours, right? Like, of course that muscle is going to be sore. But you know, it's funny. I like how you said that, Dan, because I think that next phase, and I try not to tell this. I don't mean to tell this to the person. I almost consider it like the fragile phase. I don't want to tell them that because I don't want them to think they're fragile. That's the opposite of what we want. But in my mind, I like how you said, like, there's like a few weeks where it's almost a, you know, it can spasm up again. And why do you think that is, Dan? Like, I've wondered myself, was it because, like, you know, their endurance wasn't quite there for, like, the stabilizers in there. Like, and it's almost like if you go a little bit too much, it can spasm again. Like, what do you think that is, Dan? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I think you can kind of approach it from a few different perspectives, like a biomechanical approach where, like, yeah, maybe they didn't have the strength or endurance they need. There's a little too much motion, overstretched one of those ligaments in the spine, right? And you have a big, like, nociceptive response, goes up to your brain. Body's like, I don't like this. Let's make it really painful, right? So I think building that strength and that endurance is probably more important for the athlete, maybe not as much for, like, a sedentary person, right? But the other thing I'd tell my patients is that the body keeps the score, you know? And that was actually a book. I think this guy's name was Bessel van der Kolk or something along those lines. And it was a book on PTSD, but I think it's actually very relevant. It's like your body's trying to keep you safe. It's trying to protect you, right? So one of the reasons when after you have an injury, things get really sensitive is because your body's just trying to protect you. And over the course of time, at least really close to the injury, I think your body is more likely to resensitize the area because it's like, hey, idiot, don't hurt yourself in the same exact way that you did a week ago, right? And as you start to build some strength, some capacity, some trust with your brain, whatever it is, that sensitivity is probably going to go down again. Because we've seen this before. We've seen these athletes, right? We had someone before, a champion, was squatting heavy. She felt kind of a pop in her spine. And then she was laying on the floor literally for like 2 hours in tremendous pain. Had to have two people walk her to the emergency or to the car to go to the emergency room, which took like 45 minutes, right? And we go to the emergency room, do some imaging, and like, there's nothing, which like blows my mind that can happen. But for whatever reason, this body mounts this tremendous, like, protective mechanism, right? So I think we're really trying to just be cautious and try to respect that, right?
Yeah, that what a great example too. That was a fun day.
Oh yeah,
that was a fun day. I mean, she called me. She's like, I'm like, hey, what's going on? She's like, nothing. Like, I'm like, okay. She's like, I'm lying on the floor in the squat rack. Like she called me. I'm like, you guys are all around. I'm like, all right, I'll be right there. that was a crazy day. But I think that's the best way of saying it there, Dan, is the body is trying to do its job, right? Now, as a PT, remember, in this phase, there's tons of stuff we can do, right? We do want to slowly apply low, but take a step back and think, what are some of the variables that may have put them in a position to be more susceptible to this? Maybe there wasn't any, but work on their hip range of motion, work on their T-spine, work on a little bit more like core control or education during the movements at slower speed and less force. So that way, maybe when they get there again, they can do it, right? But I think we see that a lot. You can really, you know, capitalize that. Dan alluded to one guy that I think I know who you're talking about that we're kind of talking about right now, but I think that's another good example of an athlete where this happens too, where we're getting later in the off season for his sport. He's a baseball player, so he's doing a ton. He's in the gym, he's doing some rehab, he's throwing, he's doing a ton, right? And if he keeps loading and loading and loading with things like a deadlift, like Dan kind of mentioned him, at some point in time, you have to say like, look, your objective right now is to get ready to pitch, right? So you're long tossing, you're throwing bullpens, you're doing all these things. That's endurance of your back and your core and your hips and stuff like that, right? So if you're doing that and you're still trying to keep going up in weight with certain things, just sometimes it's just an endurance issue. You just overloaded it. So you try to deadlift, but you're exhausted and your dynamic stabilizers aren't there. You know, maybe that's part of it, right? So, you know, again, I think like everything else we tend to talk about, especially on this podcast, is that the answer depends, right? It depends on the person in front of you and what they have going on. There's so many different variables that go into it. But I think that's a good approach, right? A phase one, phase two approach right there. Decrease the spasm. And then phase two is like when they're building back up, is make sure we really educate, but keep moving and then slowly get them back to where they were. And then hopefully this doesn't happen again. I think that's the key to us. Like for this, if you go back to last episode where we talked about how do you know when to push or back off a little bit, I think those principles apply here. So good question, Tim. I think a lot of people deal with that. So I'm glad you asked. I'm glad we got to answer that. But if you have something like that, just head to the website, ask away, and please head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, subscribe, rate and review us. And we'll keep doing this. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much. See you in the next episode. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to MikeReynolds.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at MikeReynolds.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.